morning, Jim.
Morning, Jay.
All right, Jim, first of all, let's talk about the Twins. New manager, Derek Shelton. Your thoughts?
I like Derek. I think he's smart. I think he has a chance to be a good manager. It's really hard to evaluate how he did in Pittsburgh with absolutely no young talent, no payroll. Obviously didn't go well there. The Twins probably accurately think that experience will put him in a better position to be a good manager now than he was when he took that job. Very well liked and respected throughout the organization. So it's a very logical move for the Twins to make. And I'm not going to paint it as a bad move because I think highly of Shelton, but I think the fan base, perhaps rightly so, is going to view it as a comfort move. The Twins so often make the comfortable move, and they didn't hire Rowson, who would have brought a kind of a different personality to the manager's office. They didn't hire Vasquez, who was, you know, really well respected throughout Latin America, and they didn't bring in somebody who's kind of an out of the box type candidate. Not that they should have, but it feels very formulaic for the Twins to go hire somebody they already knew and liked.
How will Shelton be different than Rocco? Because I know when there's been talk about, you know, hiring Shelton, it's like hiring Rocco. He used to work with Rocco.
I don't know how they'll be different. I mean, listen, they're different human beings. Just because they're friends and, you know, they're aligned and they're thinking on certain things doesn't mean they'll do the job the same way. I mean, you know, I'm friends with Patrick Roycey and we do our jobs completely different, you know? And so it doesn't mean he's a cookie cutter. It doesn't mean he's another Rocco. But again, this is, you know, there's reality and then there's marketing. And in this day and age, the marketing matters. And the reality is he's probably a good guy to hire. The marketing, I don't know how you market it, because the first reaction to everybody is going to be another Rocco. How does this make you better? How does this change anything? Why are you just hiring somebody you kind of already were friends with? And honestly, neither is incorrect. I think he has a chance to be a good manager. I think he'll put everything he has into it. And also, I understand if anybody wants to criticize them for making what feels like just kind of the safe, boring move. I can't disagree with that.
Jim, let's talk about the Timberwolves. They lose last night. Austin Reaves hits a floater to win it after the Wolves came from behind by quite a bit in the fourth quarter in a big game from Julius Randle. Your thoughts?
Terrible defense for three quarters. They did step it up in the fourth quarter, and that's why they wiped out the lead and had a chance to win and should have won. Finch blamed himself for not having them switch on the final possession, not switching, allowed Reaves to get into the paint and hit the game-winning shot. Rebounding. This should not have gotten out rebounded by this team. Rudy Gobert had six rebounds. There's no way he shouldn't have gotten more rebounds against that team. He seems a little passive right now. He played okay offensively. He was okay with rim protection, but he's got to rebound more. So they get out rebounded by a team that is playing very shorthanded. And then Naz Reid and Terrence Shannon, the two guys supposed to come off the bench and give the offense a spark. They're combined 2 for 13 for 5 points. Their three worst plus minuses on the team are all on the bench: Reed, Shannon, and Dillingham. The bench was a real problem. And, you know, listen, you're talking about a starting lineup with Mike Conley, who should be on the bench at this point in his career, and DiVincenzo, who generally has been a bench player for this rotation. So, you know, they should have won that game is the bottom line. They should have won the game. The bench should have been better. The rebounding should have been better. The defense should have been better. At least Dillingham did well creating for others. He did a nice job passing the ball, moving the ball, breaking down defenses. He was 4 from 8 from the field. He also twice pretty quickly went into the lane like he could just shoot a layup and got his shot absolutely destroyed. So he still has something to learn about the size and speed of the players in this league.
Would you say defense is what their focus is, to try to get back to doing that? Because they were one of the best defensive teams in the league last year.
Well, defense and rebounding. It doesn't do you any good to play defense if you don't get the rebound. So last night they had a lot of situations where they were playing much better defense, and then they had a lapse toward the end of the shot clock and somebody was able to get a good shot off after they played defense well for 10, 15 seconds. And if you don't get the rebound, the defense doesn't matter. So it's a combination. It's defensive possessions. You got to play good defense. You got to force the bad shot or the miss, and then you got to get the rebound. And if you don't do those things, like the most basic thing in the NFL is if you don't stop the run, you're just helpless. Well, in the NBA, if you don't have a full defensive possession, the other team's eventually going to score.
Jim, the Blue Jays beat the Dodgers 6-1 last night, jumped on them early with a couple of home runs early in that game. The Blue Jays are up 3-2. Your thoughts?
Another entertaining game. I just love, I just love the way the Jays swing the bat. I love their approach. Unless like Yamamoto just pitching at a historic level, they just seem to get to people. They're just a fun team to watch. I mean, we all knew the Dodgers would be fun to watch, but I think the Jays are both very good and very fun to watch. They have a lot of good arms. I think they're well managed. But it's just fun to watch them hit, And Ohtani had a game where he didn't absolutely dominate. So that's always a plus for the Jays.
So if the Dodgers were to look at this, they might say, we need to have better bullpen. I mean, if there's a way for them to improve, they have to have a better bullpen if they're going to try to win, series.
They need a better – well, I mean, they've had a pretty good run here. So there's not much wrong with the Dodgers. And if you win 2 out of 3 World Series and go to 3 straight World Series, that's not exactly a slump or a problem. Their weakness is bullpen. And, the Jays have been good enough to take advantage of that bullpen often enough to take the series lead.
Vikings are going to play the Lions on Sunday. They signed another quarterback, John Wolford, who had played for the Rams. I suppose he's probably familiar with the system. He's signed to the practice squad, so he'll at least start out as the number 3 guy?
Yeah, I was out there yesterday. We all talked to O'Connell and McCarthy, and Brosmer will be the backup, which is another sign that their interest in him is legitimate. It's not just PR. Good thing for him. Looks like Darisaw was able to practice in full. That was a big question. McCarthy practiced in full. Van Ginkel practiced in full, which might be as big a development as this team has had. They've missed him so much. Grenard's limited. O'Neill's limited. Rogers is limited. 3 concerns, obviously. Ham, Okuda, and Oliver out. Okuda dealing with a concussion. So not a perfect injury report, but, the top 3, Darisaw, McCarthy, and Van Ginkel being full participants is a big deal.
So, JJ, what are your thoughts on him as far as what you'd like to see? Even if it doesn't turn into wins, just to see his development, what are types of things that you want to see from him on Sunday?
I mean, we might be a few days away from this just being a developed JJ season, I mean, their percentage chance of making the playoffs if they lose on Sunday is like 3%. They might end up with 5 or 6 wins this year. So, it's all about McCarthy right now. Good thing is he has a great attitude. I've talked to Thielen about him. They worked out together in the summers. He just says, this guy's a leader. This guy has it all. Great personality. I think he's a leader. And I do think that, the way they talked about it this week, he basically said that even some of his problems in the Atlanta game were due to that ankle trying to play on that ankle. O'Connell's leaning heavily into that his footwork has to be really good. And when your ankle's sore, your footwork isn't going to be good. And he wasn't able to practice for a long time. The most important thing now is that McCarthy looks like developed by the end of this year. McCarthy looks like he's your quarterback. And, maybe that starts this Sunday in Detroit and he plays great. If not, they need to get him there.
Jim, in college, did they take the approach of throwing guys open? You hear about that in the NFL all the time, especially when you got great, really good receivers like JJ, like Jefferson and Addison. Is that the type of thing that McCarthy's got to get used to?
It's a different level. I mean, defensive back. In college, most of the defensive backs are failed wide receivers. In the pros, defensive backs are specialists. And they're fast enough to keep with NFL receivers. They're not quite as fast as the fast receivers, but they have the speed and the reactions to give them a fighting chance. It's a different thing. As you said, in college, you wait for a guy to get open and you throw him the ball. In the pros, you throw the ball to where he will be open, a second from now. A completely different game. I did think in this preseason and training camp, O'Connell was really coaching McCarthy hard to throw it where only his guy could get it. And that's, when you think you have a good roster and you think you're going to have a winning season, part of McCarthy's job was going to be don't mess it up, right? and I think they would have been okay with him being kind of a game manager. At this point in the season, with everything that's going on with, you know, where they are in the standings, everything else, yes, of course, you don't want him going out there and throwing four interceptions, but I hope they kind of let him just see it and rip it, you know, react. I think he was thinking a little bit too much in the first two games. Listen, it's a hard position. It's just a really hard position. And, yeah, he was holding the ball a little bit too much, and the game looked a little too fast for him. You know, maybe this layoff will help him in that regard. We'll see.
All right, Jim, what do you got in your podcast?
So we have the Viking Update Show talking about all these things and kind of how we got to this point in the Viking season. We have the John Krasinski Show up talking about the Wolves issues. And we have Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider coming out today. And everything is TalkNorth.com or on your favorite podcast app. The Viking Update Show and the John Krasinski Show are also available on YouTube.
All right. Thank you, Jim. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Jim.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at SuhanStrib. Check out his latest column in the Star Tribune or his podcast at TalkNorth.com. Jim, once again today, is brought to you by the Green Mill in downtown St. Cloud. Dream Getaway 88 code words continue, and here's her first code word of the day. It is final, F-I-N-A-L, final. Type that in. You can win a vacation of a lifetime. First code word is final, F-I-N-A-L. Next code word will be at 10:20. We'll also have one at 12:28 today, and an app-only code word at 3 this afternoon. First code word once again today is final, F-I-N-A-L. Good luck. News next.